Man, I had a lot of supper. And that was fantastic. You know, that was one of, that's gluttony. I was going to preach on gluttony tonight, but see how I glutton probably more than anybody. I better not. I'll wait till next week when there's no supper here. By the way, don't forget, next week prayer meeting is Tuesday night. Some of us, I already have previous arrangements for Tuesday. Anyway, those dates got mixed up. But it won't be Wednesday. It'll be Tuesday night here. There won't be any supper, okay? After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem.
Now there is at Jerusalem, by the sheep market, a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches.
In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water.
For an angel went down at a certain season to the pool, and troubled the water. Whosoever then, first after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatever sort of disease he had.
And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years.
When Jesus saw him lie, and knew that he had no time in that case, he said to him, "Wilt thou be made whole?"
The impotent man answered him, "Sir, I have no man, and when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, while I am coming, another steppeth down before me."
Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up thy bed, and walk."
And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath.
The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, "It is the seventh day, it is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed."
Now let me just stop for a moment. If you would have been that guy, and they'd have come up and said that to you, how do you think you would have responded to that? I just said, "Shut up." He answered them, "He that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk."
Then asked they him, "What man is that which saith unto thee, take up thy bed and walk?"
And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place.
After Jesus findeth him in the temple, and said unto him,
"Behold,
thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest the worst thing come to thee."
The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole.
And thereafter did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath day.
But Jesus answered them, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work."
Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, the Son also said to God was his Father, making himself equal with God.
Then answered Jesus and said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise."
For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that he may marvel.
For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will.
For the Father judgeth not men, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son.
That all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father which sent him.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live.
For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself.
And hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Amen.
Remain standing as we turn in our
14. We've been doing a study for 2 weeks. We'll finish it tonight, Lord willing, on the subject of pride. Brother Bill put this up here. When the co-op, for the co-op breakfast, if you want to invite friends, neighbors, somebody else to come along with you for breakfast, invite them out. And we always have more than enough food back there, so invite them out, and that would be a blessing as well. Let me read you a short paragraph here, Luke chapter 14, beginning in verse 12, to remind us of the concept of pride. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend unto heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Five times he said, I will, I will, I will. That's pride. Yet, God says, thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble and did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners? So when we read a text like that and we think about pride, the best way or the worst way, however you want to look at that, that you act like the enemy or Satan or the devil is when you have pride in yourself. It's the most satanic way we can look is when we have pride. And we said several things about pride. We said people that have pride, for instance, we mentioned, I won't mention the whole list, I gave you a whole bunch of them, but when you desire to be treated special or you can't take criticism or you have an attitude of self-suffering or you can't say I was wrong and apologize and ask for forgiveness, things like that, those are all pride issues. How does a person deal with pride? The first thing they have to do is they have to recognize it as a problem. A few years ago, I preached a series of sermons on landmines. Landmines get in the pathway of the believer, and we step on those landmines, and they blow up. But you know what? You never see a landmine. I was reminded of this. Oh, I was at a pastor's conference several months ago, and a guy says, you preached a series of sermons once on landmines. I said, yeah, I did, as a matter of fact. He says, I listened to that series recently. He goes, I listen to that series all the time. He says, one of the best series I've ever heard. But if you think about a landmine, you don't see it. That's why it's so dangerous. People actually in the military have to go ahead and try to find those things and locate those and disarm those so some people don't blow themselves up when they walk on them. You don't see a landmine. Pride can be a landmine. You have to recognize it as a problem. Then you have to honestly identify the exact area. The best thing to do with pride is not to rationalize it away. And say, well, that's not a problem in my life. I don't have a problem there. To some degree or another, pride is probably at least a little bit of a problem in everybody's life. And so we don't rationalize it away. Say, this, you know, this is where I'm prideful. And then listen, thirdly, confess and repent individually. Not, Lord, forgive me of my pride. Lord, I have pride. It's seen in my attitude to those who prosper. It's seen in my attitude toward those who financially get ahead. It's seen in my attitude toward those who, you know, I do the same thing they do, and they seem to have all the good things happen to them, and everything I touch turns into coal. But, you know what I'm saying? Confess and repent individually. And you say, well, I'm not sure what it really is. Then say, God, show me what it is. Parents have to admit wrong. Did you ever have to apologize to one of your kids for something? That's one of the most humbling things there is for a parent to have to do. But you know, it's one of the best things you'll ever do. You mean me as a parent need to go apologize to my child every once in a while? Yeah, every once in a while. You expect them to apologize to you every once in a while. You probably expect them to apologize to you a whole lot. But yeah, it's a good idea to do that, all right? Number four, continually be on the alert for it. Be sensitive toward the whole concept of pride creeping up into your life, lest Satan get an advantage of us. Fifthly, be willing to serve other people. Well, I'm awful important, Pastor. I got a lot of things to do. So is everybody else. You're not too important to serve other people. I mentioned Brother Suits the other day. It doesn't hurt us to go over there and mow his lawn. Doesn't hurt somebody to go pick up Sister Marilyn and take her to the grocery store every once in a while just to be a blessing to her. And you don't have to say, hey, guess what I did? Nobody, you don't have to do that. The next thing you need to do is you need to cultivate love. You need to cultivate genuine love for other people. That'll help you deal with your pride. Let me go back a little bit and say this. You need to be willing to do something for others secretly. You know, like we have a benevolent fund offering. Somebody has a need. You can put a $20 bill in there and say, I want this to go specifically to, okay, last year about this time we took up an offering for Mike Mack because he had to get his school bill paid before finals or something. So in our benevolent fund, you give an offering to that, but you don't expect anybody to see that. If you expect somebody to see that or recognize that, that's a pride problem. Be willing to do something for others secretly. How much I am willing to do and get nothing back is an indicator, a good indicator, of whether or not I have pride or not. And if I need an applause, obviously I have a pride problem. Whatever the next number is, remember where we came from. Look at Psalm 40. I love this particular psalm. I think people all too often forget where they come from. Now, I think Christians, after they've been saved a while, forget what God saved them from. And when somebody else falls into sin, the same exact sin that we struggled with several years ago, we're all over them like ugly on an ape. But it was the same thing that we did 5, 6, 7, 8, 10, 20 years ago. But somehow we forgot where we came from. I was studying for Sunday's messages today, and I'm not preaching on this Sunday night, but the second half of Matthew 18 is a passage on forgiveness. But just before that, it talks about church discipline. And I was sitting there meditating on that whole chapter, Matthew 18, and a thought came to my mind. Some people get church disciplined and some people, by the grace of God, never had to have been. But you know the difference between somebody who's church disciplined, and this thought came to my mind, and somebody who's not been church disciplined? You never got caught doing the same thing that they got caught doing. Do you know that? You repented before you got caught. They just have never repented, so they got caught. The fact is, you're no better than they are. I'm no better than anybody. If you go back, and I was meditating on this, if I was to go back in my life after I was saved, I did some things that are in the list in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. I got drunk after I was saved. But you know what? I never got caught. I did other things after I was saved. Now let me say something. I didn't get drunk very many times. Okay, once I realized that alcohol was a sin, I repented of it and I turned away from it. But the truth is, I did it. But I never really got in trouble for it. The Lord knew. And I got convicted, and I repented. The only difference was, I repented, the other guy didn't repent. So before we get too haughty, remember where we came from. Look at this. I waited, verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit and out of a miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it, and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. You notice it said in verse 2, he brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock. Don't forget where you were saved from. That is one of the worst things that will cause you, to go back into the area of pride. He brought us out of a sinful condition. And you know what we are? We are the recipients of God's grace. And really all we have to boast about is Jesus Christ. You better have sober thoughts about yourself. You better see yourself for what you really are and the fact that God brought you up out of a horrible pit. Don't ever forget that. Second-generation Christians, my kids are second-generation Christians. Some of you know that they are. If you're the first person saved in your family, your children are second-generation Christians. A lot of second-generation Christians are very ungrateful Christians. It's almost like they don't see what God has saved them from. Never forget what God saved you from. Well, where am I? This kind of goes along with that. Recall what God saved us from. He saved us from ruining our lives. He saved us from spending an eternity in hell. Don't ever forget those things. Stop comparing yourself to others who are below us. You know why? It'll build pride in us. If you compare yourself to me, you can look pretty good. But you're not supposed to compare yourself to me. You know who you're supposed to compare yourself to? Jesus Christ. And if you compare yourself, or if I compare myself to Jesus Christ, now I'm not looking so good. Now you're not looking so good, all right? Let's stop comparing ourselves to others who are below us, because it'll build pride. Instead, look at, go back to Proverbs chapter 27. Oh my goodness. Proverbs 27 and verse 2. Let another man praise thee and not thine own mouth, a stranger and not thine own lips. You'll get this. Did you ever meet somebody who was a legend in their own mind? You've all met those kind of people. Some of us might even be those kind of people. Now let me say this about pride. If there's the best way to deal with it, this might be it. Ask God to send you adversity. What? If you have a pride problem and you just can't get victory over it, ask God to send you adversity. Adversity will humble you. Adversity will break you, and it will shape you, and it will mold me, and it will remake me, and I'll be fit for the kingdom. You might even say, God, I've just struggled with pride for so many years. Whatever it takes, Lord. Adversity humbles us. You see, God hates pride. In Proverbs 6, he calls it an abomination. Six things does the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him, and the first one is a proud look. He'll not tolerate it because it's against his holy character, and it's as much like Satan as we can possibly be. Everything that contributes to pride, God is against. So he sends adversity sometimes to humble us. We just have to develop a spirit of humility toward God and others. Now let me give some closing thoughts on that to help guard against pride. Never draw attention to your own achievements and abilities. Never do that. Let somebody else do that. Proverbs 27:2. Don't do it yourself. Never view yourself. Look at Romans chapter 12 and verse 3. Pride is a personal problem. It can be very difficult to see in our own lives, but probably everybody else can see it but us. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Never view yourself any higher than you should. Thirdly, give God credit for everything that you have. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Focus on others, not on self, and cultivate love. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5, bringing every mind to the obedience of Christ, reject every thought that exalts itself above God. Just reject them. Say, that's not of the Lord. Not of God. Well, Father, we thank you for the evening that we've had tonight. Pride's an awful thing. I suppose from time to time it creeps into all of our lives. And Lord, if it's there, show us and break us and mold us and shape us and remake us and humble us to be what you want us to be. God, I know that not everybody here tonight loves you. They wouldn't be at church on a Wednesday night. But Lord, pride can get in our life. Satan was a created angel, and yet it got in. He was in heaven. Probably was the song leader in heaven. And yet, he fell. God help us to always be sensitive and on our toes, on the lookout for pride creeping in. In Jesus' name, Amen. There's a missionary letters tonight.